Welcome to a life-changing encounter with the Word of God, presented to you by Reverend Bright Nkrumah, the senior pastor of the Lycos International Church, Bronx North. He is an anointed pastor and teacher of the Word of God, affecting many lives. Now get ready to be transformed by this anointed message.
Wonderful. Well, today we want to continue our series of messages that we started about 2 or 3 weeks ago about offense. We are talking about offense. Hallelujah. We are talking about offense. I want all of your attention and all of your heart. You know, the Word of God is so powerful and it's so mighty. The Bible says that God sent His Word and He heals all of our diseases, and He delivered us from all of our destruction. Hallelujah. I believe that there are some of you who are here with certain diseases. By the end of this service, you will not have that disease anymore. Hallelujah. There are some of you, there are certain traps that are set for your destruction. Some news have come to you that poses as a threat for destruction. At the end of this service, that destruction will be eradicated. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, He sent forth His Word. He sent forth His Word. And He healed all of our diseases and delivered us from our destruction. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe God is going to heal you from certain pain and certain aches. Amen. So we are talking about offenses. We are talking about offenses. And the very beginning, we talk about the fact that offenses will come. It says there will be offenses. There will by all means be offenses. You will be offended. As long as you live on this earth, you live in this world, you are prone to be offended. Hallelujah. And then last week we talked about offense. Offense. And we shared some powerful things last week. Are you listening? You know, offense is a very subtle thing. And many people even deny when they are offended. Many people do not even accept that they are offended. But it ought to be like that. It ought to be like that because it is Satan's great weapon. It is a weapon that Satan uses to destroy people of God. And so he hides it from you. People do not display their weapons when they work in subtlety. Amen. So offense is a very dangerous weapon that Satan carries. And he has used it. Last week we learned that it had worked over and over and over again. It works as an international weapon. It works among whites. It's among black people. It works among the young and the old. No matter who you are and no matter what the group is, it works. Hallelujah. Today we are talking about offenses and how to overcome them. Offenses, colon, how to overcome them. In other words, how to overcome offenses. Amen. John 16 and verse 1. John 16 and verse 1. It says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended." Amen. "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended." And the previous chapter, Jesus was saying so many things to the disciples. As they were following him, he mentioned so many things that were going to happen to them. And he said that, "I am pointing these things out to you, that you will know when they come, that you will not be offended." You know, and the goal is not just being offended, but to be displaced. If you have the NLT in this scripture, look at that, the NLT. He says, I have told you these things so that you won't abandon your faith. You will not abandon your faith. Because subsequently, that is what offense does to you. Offense will make you abandon your faith. It will make you stop relating with the people of God. It will make you stop serving God. Offense. Hallelujah. So, it's a very dangerous thing. Amen. It's not something to be taken lightly. So, how to overcome offense? Number one, expect to be offended in the church or in ministry. Expect to be offended. You have to have an expectation that you are potentially going to be offended. You will be a victim of offense. Hallelujah. Expect to be offended. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 7. Again, it says, woe unto the world because of offenses. Woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must needs be that offenses come. By all means, offense will come. That it's necessary that offense will come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Hallelujah. So offense will come. No matter how you keep yourself, no matter how you are, no matter how you live your life, you will be offended. Jesus has said it. So expect to be offended in the church. Tell your neighbor, expect to be offended by me. Amen. So Jesus was emphatic that we will be offended. We will go through hurts. We will get through pains in the church of God, in the house of God. Hallelujah. It will be nice if you were all never going to be offended. It will be very nice if there will be no offense in the church. Wouldn't it be nice? It will be very nice if we didn't offend each other anymore. We walk around like angels and not offend each other. It will be very nice. Amen. It will be nice if you had such skill as a church member to relate, or as a leader, as a pastor. If I have certain skills that I will not offend you, it will be really nice. Life will be very pleasant. You would never come here with your face squeezed or leave this place with certain anger. Amen. You will never walk away when we say right after church we are having shepherd's meeting. Some of you, even when we are breaking bread and everything is set up, right after church you will leave. Because you are angry about something. Christians breaking bread. We are having fun. And then you are angry and you leave. Because of offense. True or not? So it would have been nice if the church was a perfect church. And everything was properly done. Such that there will be no offense. But as long as we are here on this earth, as long as we live here on this earth, we will be offended at one point or the other. If you have never been offended, it's not because you are so careful or you are so nice. The time is coming where you'll be offended. Daniel, the time will come where you'll be offended. Amen. If you have never been offended, how many of you You have not really been offended, seriously offended before. Let me see by show of hand. You have not come to a stage where you would have taken certain decisions about a church. Let me see. You have never had a... Oh, okay. How many of you have been offended to a degree that you almost left the church? Let me see. Yes. Do you see? Yeah. How many of you have been offended and wasn't... like you were going to leave, but you were offended. Yes. That is how offense is. Do you see? You see that almost everyone here has been offended to a degree that you almost left the church. Even you left and came back. Wonderful. Not you. Powerful. Some people left and came back. Wow. Clap your hands for the Lord. If you are that person, you overcame the enemy. You overcame Satan's plan. Hallelujah. Satan could not conquer you. That is why you were able to overcome. And actually, we want to clap for you because you overcame one of Satan's great weapons. It was a great weapon that you overcame. Hallelujah. Say, this Satan, he almost got me, but you are a liar. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. Bishop writes here, he says, I struggle to accept in myself that I am offended. It is natural for me to declare that I have no offense in me. And he says, indeed, I pride myself in saying that many things don't bother me deeply. And I believe that many of you also feel like that. You feel like, you know, many things don't bother you deeply. You see? But he says, even as I was writing this book, I could think of two people whose actions and words have disturbed me for months on end. Their behavior keeps coming up to me as a bad smell from rotten meat. Wow. Their behavior keep coming to me as a bad smell from a rotten meat. He said, try as I may, I can't seem to be happy with them. And I wish they hadn't done the things that they had done to me. Wow. Offense, eh? It's a serious thing. He said, my spirit is not at ease when I think deeply about their lives. You know, some people can offend you that whenever you think of them, whenever you even hear of their name, you feel nauseous. Amen. He said, my spirit is not at ease when I think deeply about their lives. I believe that I am offended in my soul at their treachery towards me. Wow. Amen. So you can see why many people will keep denying that they are offended. He says, I don't like to admit that I'm offended with these people. It's like admitting to a very low mistake. However, if Jesus said we will be offended, it is my duty to accept that I am offended when it happens to me. Amen. So you must accept that you are offended. You must accept that is the beginning of escaping this weapon, to accept that you are offended. Sometimes the event that led to offense seems so minor, and so you feel even embarrassed to say that you are offended by this thing. Are you listening? That you are offended by this thing, but you are offended. And no matter how much the offense is or how big it is, it still has the same effect. It has the same effect. Hallelujah. So number one is to accept that you are offended or expect to be offended. Hallelujah. Expect to be offended. As you come, expect that today you'll be offended. You will not leave the same place. You will not leave here the same. Today you are going to be offended. Hallelujah. Something is going to happen that is going to offend you. Amen. Number two, expect to be offended by a close person. Expect to be offended by a close person. Amen. John 21 and verse 17. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Amen. So the one who will offend you is usually the one that is very close to you. Hallelujah. Only someone that is precious to you can offend you. Only someone who is dear to you can offend you. It is only the person that you hold dear, that you cherish, that you have some value for, that can offend you. And so most of the things that we claim do not hurt us are things that are not close enough to hurt us deeply. You see, there are certain things that others will do, they will never hurt you. Because they are not that close. Are you listening? There are certain things that people do that do not offend you because of how close or how far they are in relations with you. They do certain things and they don't bother you. But when the person is close, that is when their activities can bother you. Satan knows someone who is close to you and he can easily get to you through that person. Satan knows someone who is close to you. And that is the person he works through to get to you. Hallelujah. Satan knows someone who you have value for. Someone that is so dear to you. Amen. So expect to be offended by someone close and someone precious and someone dear to you. That is the kind of person who is going to offend you. Say amen. Amen. Psalm 41 and verse 9. Psalm 41 and verse 9. It says, yea. Okay, this is a new, yeah, the King James Version. It says, yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread. I mean, you don't just eat, you know, you don't share bread with strangers. Is that how you go about doing your things? He says, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. Give us the NLT, the New Living Translation. The New Living Translation. It says, even my best friend, say my best friend. My best friend, the one I trusted completely. The one I trusted completely. The one who shared my food. Wow. He's the one that has turned against me. So, someone that is very far cannot offend you like that. Are you listening? You see, if you were living several feet apart, it is very unlikely that I'll step on your toes. It's very unlikely. The person who will step on your toes is a person that is very, very close to you. That is the person who will step on your toes. Amen. And so sometimes you find out that people talk about a person, you know, for instance, in the church, and then, you know, maybe a couple is going through some rough time and some difficulty, and then people say, but he's a very nice guy. Why is he always having trouble with this woman? It's the woman. It's the woman. You see, because we know him. He's a very nice guy. The way he treats us, the way he respects us, the way he does things for us, you know. And so we don't know because we are not that close to this person. Are you listening? You have not come close enough for him to step on your toes. But if you were to live with him in the same house and share the same bed and share the same bathroom and share the same kitchen and share the same food, you realize that he's a very dangerous guy. If he comes that close, if he becomes a good friend, then you realize that It's not so. Amen. And that is why many people get surprises in marriage. Amen. Peter was very close to Jesus. He denied Jesus 3 times, and truly it was painful. Jesus asked him the same question 3 times. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Jesus was truly stunned or surprised by Peter claiming he had never seen nor interacted with him ever before when he was asked. When he was asked. And you realize, I believe that there were several people in the Bible who may have followed Jesus, and people have targeted them because you heard of Paul persecuting all these people. Do you see? And perhaps they may have asked other people, were you in a church too? Were you following this guy? Were you with him? And then they will say no. They will say no. No, no, I never saw him. And maybe some of the people that he healed. You know, he healed you. You were crippled. And now you are walking. And they are asking you, did you know this Jesus? Were you with him? He said no. You see, and these things were not even written. Jesus didn't even acknowledge these things because they were not that close. But Peter was very close to him. So the one that is very close to you is the one that potentially can offend you. Hallelujah. Peter was very close. Peter acted in this offensive way 3 times. And Jesus also asked him 3 times, if you love me. So you can be stunned by those closest to you. You can be surprised by the people who are very close to you. There are times, he says, that I have been shocked at the actions and words of those I trusted with my life. Indeed, I can only say that people who offend are capable of causing astonishment and bewilderment that will last a long time. People who offend, people that are very close to you, Portia, that offend you, they can last for a very long time. That will be very difficult sometimes even to forget. But that is why we are teaching you these things. Amen. A blow from a loved one can knock you out and lead to a loss of consciousness or strength. Wow. One blow from a loved one, it can knock you out and lead you to unconsciousness. Wow. And that is what it means to receive a stunning blow from your dear ones. Stunning blow. So expect stunning blows in the ministry and in the church. Expect it. Look out for it. Welcome it. Embrace it. That this is part of us. When one offends another, it's part of us. This is how we are. Jesus says we cannot escape it. Amen. So look closely at your closest friends and aides. Look closely at your friend. Look at them closely, because they will be the very source of your greatest help and at the same time, the very source of your greatest pain. Amen. The people who were great help. The people who came to visit you when you were not well. The people who came to support you at your loss. The people who cooked for you when you had a child. The people who gave all those gifts to you during your shower, your baby shower. Where do you think it came from? The people that you have to go and come and pick them, go and come and go and come and go and come. They are the ones who are going to offend you. The same people are the ones who are going to offend you. So look at them closely. Amen. They are going to cause you great pain. Hallelujah. Many ministers of the gospel have spouses who are their greatest helpers and also the source of their greatest pain. And this paradox is part of their ministry and part of life. Hallelujah. The one who you live with that says, I love you, is the same person that one day you say, I hate you. And you want to pack and go. And it's all because of offense. But Jesus is saying, beware that offense will come. Beware that the offense will come. That it will not displace you. It will not make you change your position. It will not cause you to lose your position. It will not cause you to end the marriage. It will not cause you to end the relationship. This beautiful relationship that we have. Offense will come. Offense will come. Michelle, offense will come. There will be times that you would have needed me to do something for you that was not done. You'll be offended. Nonetheless, the relationship is still good. I still love you and you also love me. And that should continue. Are you listening? Offense will come. The fact that offense cometh does not mean that it should wipe out all the good things that we have had together. All the nice times. Are you listening to me? So don't get offended. Anytime you get offended, you see, and you have to admit that I am offended. You have to admit that I am offended. And anytime you get offended, see that the enemy has targeted you. And he wants to displace you. Many people who leave churches are people who are offended. Almost 90% of people. Many people who leave marriages are people who are offended. Amen. Isn't that so? Yes. So number one, what is number one? Expect to be offended. Number two, expect to be offended by a close one. Tell your neighbor, expect some offense from me. Say, I'm about to offend you. Tell your neighbor, this afternoon, you may get a surprise from me. Amen. Number three, confess and accept that you are offended. Confess and accept that you are offended. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8. 1 John chapter 1 verse 8, we read into 10. It says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. Who do we make a liar? God. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Hallelujah. So Satan's greatest trick is to make you say that you have no problem. You have no problem. You know, sometimes you have two people having an issue and then you sit them down and you are talking to them. Oh, we don't have any problem. I don't have any problem with it. I don't have any, Reverend, as for me, I don't have any problem with it. But that's not true. As for me, I don't have any problem with it. I don't have any problem with him. How many of you have said that before? But you have problem. And you have said that. Lift up your hand. There was a problem, but you said, I have no problem. Amen. You see, Satan's trick is to make you say that I have no offense. I have no problem. Hallelujah. He doesn't want you to confess it. So it's to make you say, I have no sin. It is to make you say, I am not offended. Because Satan's aim is to keep you self-deceived and lost in darkness. To do this, he has to keep you saying to yourself, I am not offended. I am not offended. I am not hurt. These things don't bother me. I am used to these things. You are not used to it. You cannot be used to offense. You cannot be used to offense. You cannot be used to the fact that something is hurting you. You can't be used to it. Pain is pain. Hallelujah. So sometimes you hear some, oh, this thing don't bother me anymore. But it bothers you. It bothers you. Amen. If we say we have no offense, we deceive ourselves. Deceiving yourself is a bad thing. It's a very dangerous thing when you have deceived your own self. To deceive yourself is to continue in Satan's grip that he holds you strongly. If you say you have no sin, you make God a liar. Is God a liar? Yeah. So to say that I am not offended and you have been offended, you are making God a liar. You have sin. Amen. Is somebody understanding what I'm sharing with you? Most people who are offended do not accept that they are actually offended because there is some type of stigma attached to offense. Sometimes even you are embarrassed to say what you are offended about because it was that drink. What do you call the drink that they were giving? Yeah. That you went to get some more. And then they say, it's for the men. It's for the men. This one is for the men. And then you are offended. You see, but you cannot say that you are offended because of Shobolo. You see, it's embarrassing. Or even the food, the whole food issue. It's embarrassing to say, I left the church because when they were serving the food and I went there, they gave me a small portion. You see, look at that. So sometimes the things that will cause offense is embarrassing. And we can't even say that we are offended because of this. Amen. Many deny that they are offended. It's amazing how easy it is for outsiders to see through your smoke green screen and quickly conclude that you are offended. So outsiders, people can see that you are really offended, but you are saying you are not offended. The way we invite you and you don't come, even the way you carry yourself around, we can see that you are offended. The way you took your bag and walked away, we can see that you are offended. And you, that you always come for this gathering, this time you didn't come, we know that you are offended. Something has hurt you. Something really seriously is going on. And if you don't confess it, you are giving Satan a stronghold on you. Hallelujah. Bishop Rice says, one day, some people rose up against me and said many evil things about me. Their declarations against me were noised abroad, and many heard of their complaints and issues. He says, I was a psychiatrist who was not a member of our church and who lived in America, read their stories and their slander against me. The psychiatrist's comment about them was short and precise. How many of you want to know? He said, I see a lot of hurt. I see hurting people. I see men with lots of offense. And truly, that is what leads people to now become a certain way. People who you had very nice relationship with. People that you traveled with. People that you sat with, people whose weddings you officiated, people whose babies you dedicated. Do you see? People that you took to places, places where they would never have been. You take them there, you show them, you expose them to certain things. You change their lives. Are you listening? You know, and these are the people now who will turn against you. And the reason why they will turn against you is on offense. It's due to offense. Offense is a very dangerous weapon. You know, let us not belittle it at all. You know, you may say that, oh, I didn't like this issue, what happened? But you are offended and you have to deal with it quickly. Otherwise, it will build in you that great weapon of the enemy, which is to separate you and take you away. Amen. He says, these hurting people denied ever being hurt. Indeed, they claimed they were fighting injustice in the church. You see how you will now camouflage it. But they could not see any hurts and offenses in themselves. So outsiders could see through their hurts and offenses, but they could not even see that they were offended. They could not say that they are offended by what is happening. But offense is always the target to displace us from any form of relationship, any kind of relationship. Sometimes people get offended and they walk away from their jobs when they have no jobs lined up for them. You see, because offense is a very strong weapon. It can make you take decisions that you wouldn't have taken otherwise. You get so offended that you shut down your computer, grab your bag, take your plants that you have decorated, your wall, pictures, and then computer screen that you bought personally. You rip it and then take your pictures. You can't carry them. As you are going, they are falling down. But you are so angry. You are so angry, and then you walk away. Are you listening? Recently, there was anyway, I'll tell you later. I'll tell you later. Because it is true. Amen. Offense is a very dangerous thing, dangerous weapon. I tell you, it can make you take a decision that you would otherwise wouldn't have taken. Offense. So the last one for the day. Let me give you one more for the day and then we'll continue next time. Recognize that you are in danger when offended. Recognize that you are in danger when you are offended. Hallelujah. Recognize you are in danger when offended. 2 Corinthians 2 verse 10. 2 Corinthians 2 verse 10. It says, to whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgive I it in the person of Christ. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Hallelujah. So do not be ignorant of the devices of Satan. Do not be ignorant of his devices. And one of his devices is to bring offense, is to cause you to be offended. Hallelujah. People who are offended are in great danger. Amen. They are in danger of Satan's taking advantage of them. Satan always takes advantage of your offense. Hallelujah. And how does he do that? Satan is looking at your heart. He's looking closely to see if there are certain wounds that he will help to inflict. And sometimes it's a wound that you carry from some other place. And you have brought it. You have brought the wound with you. You never got healed from it. Do you see? And then Satan rises up to hit that same place. How many of you realize that when you are hurting in a certain place, any small touch, small thing that comes there will hurt you? Or you are not like that? Oh, they can hit you here. I mean, if the hurt is here, They can hit you here, hit you there, hit you here, hard. You can take it. But if they come to the spot where you are hurt already, it's very painful. Are you listening? And that is what Satan does. So sometimes you are offended in a certain way and you have never been healed. So he causes the same area to be hit again. And then you say, not again. They are all the same. These churches, they are all the same. Christians, they are all the same. Are you listening? All men are the same. You see, I get offended when I'm preaching and you are not taking notes, but you are reading your text message. I get offended. I want you to take notes. You see, I get offended when I'm preaching and you are also doing something else. Do you want to offend me? Amen. There are so many things that people will do that can offend you. Hallelujah. But we are not ignorant of his devices. He's looking closely to see if the wounds are there, and he will help to inflict it even the more, make it become gaping wounds, wide open, so that demons can enter. Hallelujah. Once he sees infection and suppurations, these are like inflammation of the wound, looking nasty and open, gaping open. He says once he sees that, he summons other demons to take advantage of the gap and enter in. So whenever you are offended, it is a means for Satan to bring more demons to enter into you. Offense is a very dangerous thing. Amen. Satan ways to take advantage of your wounds. Satan's ability to take advantage of your wounds is what the scripture warns us against. The scripture is warning us that once you are wounded, you are in danger of several other demons to come in. Once you are wounded. Hallelujah. Is somebody listening to me? Something happened to you and the pastor didn't call you. The pastor didn't visit you. And you are offended. Do you see? You are offended. And as you are offended, the offense is there. You are still offended. It's not gone. How many of you have let go of the offense? How many of you have been offended before? How many of you have healed from the offense? It's still there. Okay. We are working on it. We are working on it. Amen. So Satan sees that there is this wound that is not healed. There is this wound that is not healed. You have an offense. And then you come. You see, sometimes they talk to you. People talk to your friends. Oh, please come back. Let's go. Do this. Do that. And then you come. The very Sunday that you come. Satan is asking, why did you come back here? Why did you come back here? Then he will hit that area again. And then you say, now I've made my mind. Now I've made a decision. They have not changed. They are still the same. They have not changed. They have not changed. Amen. So your heavily guarded life that has become well guarded can now be penetrated by devils because of offense. You have guarded yourself very well. You don't do anything. Some of you, because of offense, you don't even want to be in a choir. Because of offense. Am I preaching? Some of you have been displaced from the choir because of offense. True or not true? Because now you have a degree and now they are talking to you like a small girl. Your voice this, your voice, because, and they are not talking to you in a certain way. So you are offended. I'm not a small girl anymore. I'm not a small boy. Are you listening? Offense is dangerous. Amen. It can really displace you. Hallelujah. That is why every offending experience must put you on the alert. Every offending experience. Anytime you are offended, it must put you on alert. It must make you conscious that Satan is attacking you. Satan has targeted you. Like Apostle Paul, you must be keenly aware of the potential that hurt has come, or it has come to offend you. Whenever there's something that makes you angry, something that causes you to even miss a day or so from church. You know, sometimes you get offended and then you take 2 weeks off from church. True or not true? You get offended and then you don't show up for about 2 weeks or sometimes a month until you calm down a little, you cool down a little. And then Satan is waiting for the day you come back. Amen. So last scripture, it says 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5 again, verse 5. It says, but if any have caused grief, he hath not griefed me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient is such a man in this punishment, which was inflicted of many. So that contrarywise, ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore, I beseech you that ye will confirm your love towards him. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgive it, for your sakes, forgive I it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. Hallelujah. We are not ignorant of his devices. So when someone offends, when someone causes grief to us, we should quickly restore that person. We should quickly forgive that person. Are you listening? When someone causes grief, because we must be conscious of the fact that this is how Satan works amongst Christians to displace us. And we ought not to be ignorant of this device. So when someone causes us grief, we must quickly overcome it. Amen. For the sake of Christ, quickly overcome it. And then show love to that person. You say, on the contrary wise, show love. Show love to that person. Because that person is ready to leave. And it will be because of us. Are you listening? It will be because of us. Or even if that person doesn't leave, you will leave. As long as that person is there. You know, there are some people, they come to a church because of a person in the church. They don't stay in the church. They cannot stand a person in the church. Some people have left the church because of some people. I know. Some people have left the church because of some people. Are you listening? As long as this person is doing this, I'm not coming to this church. As long as this person is this, I'm not coming to this church. As long as that person is this. But the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. You come here because of Jesus Christ. You come here to serve God. Do not look at what people do. And let offense go. Let it heal. Don't allow the enemy to keep hammering on that wound and hammering on that wound. Because Jesus says that no matter how we live our lives, no matter whether you become just a simple church member, you just come, you don't speak to anyone, you go and come, by all means you'll be offended. No matter how you live your life, you can live your life like a cocoon, wrapped and covered in a shield, you will still be offended. You will still be offended. It says, woe to this world. Woe to this world because of offenses. We are in danger because of offenses. Because offense is such a dangerous thing. It's such a strong weapon that can really displace us if we are not conscious of this. Therefore, we are not ignorant of the device of the enemy. We are not ignorant of satanic weapon that he brings to separate us. Hallelujah. So what is number one? What is number one? Expect to be offended in the church or in the ministry. Number two? Expect to be offended by a close one, not people far away. Not people far away. So don't keep saying, I'm so shocked by your behavior. It's supposed to be like that. Close friends are supposed to shock you with their behavior. Church members are supposed to shock you with their behavior. Your pastor can shock you with his behavior. And you can shock your pastor with your behavior also. Amen. It's like you shock and I shock. You shock and I shock. By the time you realize we are shocking and shocking and shocking, and we are still here. We keep shocking, 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 and we are still here until Jesus comes. We will continue to shock ourselves until Jesus comes. And we are not ignorant of the devices of the enemy to displace us. Say, you shock, I shock. Say, astonishment, bewilderment. Say, we are exchanging. You shock, I shock. We will continue to shock ourselves until Jesus comes. We are still here. We will never be displaced. Give the Lord a shout of praise and rise to your feet as we bring the service to a close. Amen. Don't let the enemy take advantage of us. Hallelujah. Do not let the enemy take advantage of us. Amen. Father, we are grateful and thankful for your word this afternoon. We give you praise and honor for revealing this dangerous weapon of the enemy to us. Lord, from this day, we are no more ignorant of his device, the device of offense that he brings to break us and to separate us. We give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, with all eyes closed and every head bowed, you are here this afternoon. You have not given your life to Christ. And you are saying, Pastor, pray with me. I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and as my Savior. I want to receive Jesus Christ into my life. If that is your prayer, lift up your hand wherever you are. You are saying, Pastor, pray for me. Pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to serve Jesus. If that is your prayer this afternoon, lift up your hand and I'll pray with you. Is there anyone here like that? You want to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? Anyone here like that? Why don't you all join me and let's say this prayer together. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Please forgive me of my sins. Please wash me with your blood. I accept you as my Lord, as my Master, and as my Savior. Come into my heart. Be with me. Lord Jesus, please write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me today. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by this powerful message. Come worship with us at the Lycos International Church, 1810 Randall Avenue, Bronx, New York, at 2 p.m. every Sunday. God bless you.